Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for what you have done. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we just ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have prepared for us in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we take a look at this week's passage. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Now, how many times do you feel like you're under attack? How many times do you feel like you just aren't moving forward in your faith? How many times do you feel tempted just to give up? I'm doing all these things, but I'm just hitting a brick wall, or there's something invisible blocking you from moving forward. You get so frustrated that you just want to give up, stop reading the Bible, or maybe even stop praying. Well, I know there's times in my life that this happens to me, and when it does, what do? Well, I quickly start looking around for someone or something else to blame for my situation. I quickly find myself starting to cry out to God and complain. Why, God? Why? Why are you not coming to my rescue when I'm stuck? Why are you letting these things happen to me? But what if we're looking at these situations in the wrong way? What if God has a purpose for these moments to test our faith? Well, that's what we're going to find out in this week's passage, James chapter 1, verse 2. And we're going to get a clearer picture of the difference between trials and temptations. Here's what verse 2 says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to consider it pure joy in these trials? When I'm being beaten down, laughed at, or maybe even physically or mentally abused? Why on earth would I want to do that? Well, we find the answer right here in our next verse, verse 3. It says, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding faults, and it will be given to you. God's purpose for these trials in your life is to draw you closer to Him and build up your strength. It's kind of like running a race. You know, to run a race, you have to prepare for it first. You get a coach, and then you train and push your body to the limits. You test your strength, and you push yourself a little further every day until you finally build up enough stamina to persevere through the pain of running that race. You know, when your muscles are feeling like they can't go on and you just want to collapse, yet you still have that perseverance to keep going on. Why? Because you've conditioned yourself over time and you've had this training. You wouldn't just show up at a 25-mile marathon and say, okay, I've never run a marathon before. In fact, I haven't even been off my couch in the past 7 years, but I was told I need to run this race, so that's what I'm going to do. If you started running that race, you would fail. Why? Because you never had any training. Now, I know it sounds crazy to think that way, but why do we do that in our own Christian lives? When we become new believers in Christ, we're told we're supposed to run this race. So what do? Well, most of us just start running. Well, thank goodness we have an amazing coach, and he knows how to push us and build us up in a way that lets him be glorified. You see, God knows what it'll take for you to finish your race, and the trials he puts you through are going to be different than trials he puts me through, or trials that he puts your neighbor through, or anybody else through. Your race is special. It's unique, and it's one of a kind, and he loves you so much that he knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to where you need to be. He's going to take you through those trials to build you up, to build your strength so that you can finish it and that you won't give up. He wants you to be confident in His training, and He wants you to boldly ask Him for wisdom you need. But notice, in the next verse, He warns us. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. You see, when you have doubt, it lacks your ability to trust. And that's the key. The key is that you trust God 100%, to know that whatever trial you're currently going through is for your good, that God is doing something, that God is going to build up exactly what you need to be a mature Christian, and have the perseverance to finish your race. Just like having a running coach, if you don't believe in what that coach is training you to do and do the actual work, you start doubting his training. And guess what? You'll never succeed. You'll quit when things get tough because you don't trust that he knows best for you. Well, that's the same thing that's happening when you doubt God. When things get hard, you're just going to give up because you don't think God has your best interest in mind. Well, he's commanding us to be bold and confidently ask him, knowing that he will provide exactly what we need to build up our faith muscles. So we can't have that doubt. If we have doubt, how do we expect to receive anything from God? So what happens if you don't have doubt? What happens if we do have this joy and we get through that and we get our spiritual muscles built up and our faith muscles built up and we have that perseverance and that endurance to finish? Well, one of the things you might do is you start getting prideful. Well, God doesn't want that. He shows us that in verse 9. It says, "Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed in the same way. The rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." You see, that's what we're running for, the crown of eternal life. That's something God has promised us who love him. It's not about who comes in first or who's the fastest. It's not about boasting in our own strength. It's about having the perseverance to finish our race. And there's no way we could ever do this without God's help or the trials that he's putting us through. So how can you tell if you're being tested with a trial or if you're being tempted? Well, let's take a look at what verse 13 says. It says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created." If you notice what verse 14 says, temptation actually draws you away from God and ultimately leads to death. But a trial leads you closer to God, to ask him to give you what you need to get through that situation and to strengthen you. You see, God is willing to share his wisdom and truth with you. He's willing to tell you everything that you need to know. But the only way his words and his truth will strengthen you is by actually doing what he says. See what verse 19 says. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." It says, don't be deceived. Don't you see? Faith without deeds is dead. You can't just listen to God. You need to be obedient to what he's asking you to do. Let me give you an example. Let's say I ask my daughter to clean her room. I tell her exactly what I expect, and I even give her the tools to do it. So I go away and I come back days later only to find her room is still messed up. Well, frustrated, I confront her and I ask her, "Why is your room not clean?" But she answers and says, "Well, Dad, I listened to what you told me and it was really good. So I prayed about how I should clean my room And then I even found a book called 10 Steps on How to Clean My Room, and I read it. Oh, it was so good, Dad. You're not going to believe it. It was great information. Then I went to my small group, and we talked about all the benefits of having a clean room. Oh, it was so moving. Yet, when I look at her telling me this, she's still sitting in a pile of junk in this messy room. Now, she's deceiving herself if she doesn't think she's going to get punished for not cleaning her room. So why do we do this with God? Well, it really comes down to rebellion. Many times we hear what God's telling us to do, but we just don't want to do it. Why? Well, maybe it's going to be too hard. Or maybe you say, I'm just not qualified to do what you're asking me to do. So instead of being obedient, we rebel against him, giving him all of these excuses of why we haven't done what he's asked us to do. Well, you know what? Nobody said it's going to be easy to be a Christian. When we read what the apostles did and what they accomplished, it's very easy to overlook the trials that they went through. Why? Well, because we're not physically attached to them. We didn't physically go through the emotional stress or the physical stress that were connected to those trials. We're just reading about it. You see, that's why it's so important to really get engaged in the words that you're reading. Put yourself back in the days when the Bible was written. Open up your imagination to see the sights and the smells of a dusty old Jewish town, or maybe a rusty, wet, smelly prison. Yes, the disciples did amazing things for God, but they were also under amazing pressure, and they went through incredible trials. Look at everything that Paul went through. He was preaching the good news of Jesus, and yet people were actually trying to kill him, waiting for him at the gates to end his life. Let that sink in a minute. Have you ever had somebody wanting to kill you? Do you know the fear that would come about knowing that somebody's actually wanting to kill you? Not just one person, but a whole mob of people, and knowing that they're devising plans, thinking every day how they're going to kill you. And yet God's telling you, you need to stand in front of them and you need to preach the word and you need to tell them about me. Are you willing to do that? You see, God may have you go through a radical trial where people might actually want to kill you for telling others about Jesus. Have you prepared for that moment? Have you let God shape your faith and perseverance? God has amazing things planned for your life, amazing things that bring glory to his name, not yours. Glorious things that will draw others close to him so that they may be saved. Are you willing to stop complaining about the trials that God's putting you through to strengthen you, to give you perseverance, to draw you closer to him? Will you start rejoicing in those moments instead of being angry? Guys, you have to understand this is a spiritual battle. And if you don't go into this battle with the full armor of God, you're going to be defeated. That's why it's so important to just put that full armor of God on every day. He gives us the tools to succeed. He gives us his word. He gives us his truth. And he gives us direction. The question is, are we going to listen and do nothing? Or are we going to listen and be obedient? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to get a closer look at what a trial and a temptation looks like, to Father, to know that we can be secure in knowing that you will never tempt us in anything. You will only do things that will draw us closer to you. Lord, in these trials, in these things that we're struggling with, Lord, help us to just not complain. Help us to rejoice and feel that pure joy, knowing that, Lord, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be persevering. We're supposed to be pushing on and knowing that you're going to get us through. Lord, I just pray for those people going through what seems impossible times right now. Father, that whether they've lost a loved one or a job or they're just in this depression, Lord God, I just rebuke those thoughts of giving up, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that, Father, you give us the power to stand, to boldly ask. Let us have no doubt, not a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that you will do what you tell us to do, that your promises are true, and that we can stand on them 100%. Lord, I just ask that you bless those people who have no doubt, who are taking that moment to just stand boldly in your faith, in your promises through these trials. May they lift up your name and rejoice. May we do that in Jesus' name. Amen.